what is it about sanitation? There's been concern expressed for the last 30 to 45 years about it, really starting with the UN Conference on the Environment in Stockholm in 72, and then proceeding up through various other conferences. In the mid-80s, we had the Water and Sanitation Decade Program, and this has now continued with a number of conferences, declarations, goals set, but instead of being solved, if anything, problems have gotten worse, and now they're talking about the Millennium Development Goals, which are set for 2015, that sanitation is way, very unlikely to be met as a goal, as against water, which has a better chance. Just a little graphic here. Two out of every five persons, 40% of the world, are without ways. And I want to make one thing clear when I talk about sanitation. It's a broad word. What do I mean? It could mean a lot of things. It could mean personal hygiene. It could mean household sanitation, such as cooking and cleaning. It could be solid waste disposal. But I'm talking about the disposal of human waste, basically. That's what I'm talking about. I'm focusing on that because that's the fecal matter particularly carries the kind of diseases that we want to try to prevent. What are we talking about here? Here's just a few quick slides of some of these urban settlements that I'm sure you've seen many pictures of over the here. What are we talking about? This is a smaller one. This is Jakarta, Indonesia, one of the world's large cities. Okay, now this slide may not be all that distinct to you. I'm going to have handouts afterwards for anybody who wants them of all these slides. But in any case, on the third row there, it basically is talking about the goal, the Millennium Development Goal, having the proportion without sanitation by 2015. And you can see, I've summed it up below there, there's very low coverage in sub-Saharan Africa, Eastern and Southeastern and Southern Asia. There's also low coverage in Southeastern Asia and Oceania. And the red color indicates that in sub-Saharan Africa, Southern Asia and Oceania, there's been no progress or there's been deterioration or a reversal. Here's a worldwide map showing the same thing, well, showing something similar. 91, the red, the deep red is coverage, 91 to 100%. And you can see the yellow and the white are the two shades of yellow, particularly here in Africa and then over here in Asia, you can see the coverage is minimal. This is from 2004. It's the last map of this kind that's been produced. We're probably going to get another one next year, but this is the one from 2004 from the Joint Monitoring Program. UN, of WHO and UNICEF. Here's another way of showing it. Quickly, the lighter color, the lighter part of the bar is uncovered. So you have urban, rural, and total. And I just want to show you some contrast here. It's between 1990 and 2004. So you've got a 14-year period between each of those two bars. This is a developed region. There's almost no light color there. Everybody's pretty much served, urban, rural, and the total. This is developing countries, and you can see how much more of it is unserved with the light pink bar. And this is the least developed countries, which is a special group within that, and even more people are unserved. This is the same thing basically in terms of percentages. Here's the global one. And this is the population percentages of the developed region that are served and unserved. And of developing, and let's go back to that for a minute. You can see it's basically total access and house connections. That's what these two things mean. It's a little different than the other slides. In other words, the deep bar is total access, and the other bar is house connections. And this is the developing countries. Percentages are obviously lower, particularly with house connections. These are the least developed countries. They're down under 10% for house connections. All right. Many of you may be aware of this poll that was conducted earlier this year by the British Medical Journal. on medical milestones. And basically, they took an online poll of thousands of their readers, most of them doctors, but probably some others as well, about what they thought was the most important medical advance since 1840. And then they had an expert panel choose which ones were the top 15. Sanitation was top. Here is the results of the poll. I don't know if you can see, but out of the 11,000 people who responded, just almost 2,000 said sanitation. Now, antibiotics and anesthesia vaccines were close behind, but the fact is, I think it's significant that here in 2007, it's recognized that this was by these folks that this was the most important advance, and they put under that clean water and sewage disposal. That's how they look at sanitation. These are diseases associated with lack of sanitation. Many of you may have heard of waterborne, water-based, water-washed diseases. Well, that's for water, but there's another group that sort of overlaps with that has been developed for sanitation, and it's these five: fecal-oral diseases, soil-transmitted helminths, which are worms, tapeworms, water-based helminths, and then insect vectors. And I just thought it would be helpful. I went and checked this out. What we're talking about here in terms of the types of effects of these diseases. It's nice to bandy around names, but what does it mean for a person's health and well-being? Fecal-oral, obviously the largest group here. Death to children, dehydration, depletion of electrolytes, lowering of disease resistance, gastric distress, and contagion. And then with the various worms, you have all these other things, possible organ damage. These are not nice things to have. They are real nasty, disabling kinds of illnesses to have. And, of course, we haven't even had to face anything like that here in the West or in the North, so to speak, for years, because we've had ways of getting rid of our human waste. But this is everyday existence for many people around the world. Basic sanitation has been broken down into two groups, unimproved and improved. And the goal is to get more improved. And this breaks it down. Unimproved sanitation basically just means you saw one of the pictures there. The next to last picture there was of a hanging toilet where you just basically drop it down onto the ground. And other things like wrap and throw, which is a regular way of getting rid of human waste, which is obviously not very good from a public health point of view. I want to just say something very quick about the different kinds of sanitation. This is conventional sanitation, and here we have a different kind of problem. If you're using wastewater to dispose of human waste, you have a problem of treating that wastewater and disposing of it. And, of course, we're facing a crisis in this country. I imagine there's some European cities that are doing the same with infrastructure that's getting old and is going to cost billions, I mean billions, to replace. But aside from that, you have this issue of disposing of the waste in water bodies. This work has been done by the German aid agency. The Germans and the Swedes have been leaders in looking at ecological sanitation. And they're building the case this way. Basically, you have all these things, the unsatisfactory purification or uncontrolled discharge of more than 90% of wastewater worldwide, water pollution, consumption of precious water for transport of waste. When you have a waterborne waste system, I mean, if you have plenty of water, it's fine, but what if you have a water shortage? You're using it to dispose of waste. Investment, energy, operating maintenance costs, and so on. The ecological sanitation, this is the image they have done for this, and the way they describe this is improvement of health by minimizing the introduction of pathogens. And this involves, for instance, urine separation, which is something that's going to require some behavior change for people, which is urine typically doesn't have a lot of pathogens, and it can be used because of the nitrogen involved in it for fertilization and that sort of thing. The problem comes with the fecal matter. It needs to be composted. It needs to have time to get rid of the pathogens. And around the world, still on a small scale, but going forward, is an effort to look at ecological sanitation not only in rural areas and small development human settlements, but also in cities. China has pioneered in this. Sweden has pioneered in this. But of course, Sweden's system is probably a pretty expensive system, but they have whole towns that basically rely on this kind of ecological sanitation for disposing of human waste. Now let's get to what I talked about, the Hashimoto thing. This is the compendium of actions, and it was first issued in March 2006 at the World Water Forum in Mexico City. And basically it said the world was way behind, which I've already mentioned, and it came up with a bunch of actions. It focused on sanitation. And sanitation is mentioned 94 times in this document, but frequency must not be confused with effective commitment. A majority of times, sanitation is mentioned as part of the familiar twosome of water and sanitation. We always hear water and sanitation, and what that basically means, water. Sanitation is an afterthought. It's put in there because we think of sanitation as the waterborne sewage type thing. Why has sanitation remained a poor stepchild to water? Not sexy or glamorous like water. It deals with bodily wastes, which are smelly, full of pathogens, dirty, distasteful, and there are cultural taboos on it. There's ignorance on the part of those for whom sanitation problems were solved years ago. We don't even think about it anymore. Failure to understand life as part of an ecological process rather than an end state of which waste generation and disposal are necessary parts. In other words, both sides of the pipe are important. Failure to appreciate the seriousness for public health of insanitary conditions, and that we are all part of the public. The part of the problem here is you can see that the people, that the British Medical Journal surveyed, they did appreciate it, but I do think on the part of the public generally, we've come to take it for granted. We just flush it away and that's it. Let somebody else take care of it. And this last one, which is highly disturbing, but I think it's there and we have to consider it, is indifference about the, quote, unwashed masses who gather in urban and peri-urban settlements, or condoning or even favoring, and this, I'm afraid I have to say this, but and I don't know the percentage of this that goes on, but the natural reduction of the poor by disease due to lack of sanitation, a kind of social Darwinism, really. Who was Hashimoto? Just briefly, he was a Japanese politician who headed up this first commission, and then he died unexpectedly, so they named the compendium after him. It was basically the United Nations Secretary General's Advisory Board on Water and Sanitation, which was formed back in 2006. There are two objectives, to raise awareness about hygiene, promote accelerated actions, develop and apply the capacity. I'm not going to go through this in any detail because we have to move on. But basically, in detail, what they wanted to do, that next year is the International Year of Sanitation. So that's going to be all over the press, all over the international donors and United Nations. There'll be a sanitation prize. There'll be a critical review of the Millennium Development Goal sanitation target database, and they'll be responsible for assistance at the regional level with a conference, and they will discuss ecological sanitation, but just what will come with that, of that, it's hard to say. Objective two, there are a lot of things here, mostly involving donors and UN agencies. For those of you who came in, I'll just remind you, I have a handout that will be available. This is the last thing I want to talk about very briefly, privatization, which is happening everywhere. It's happening in not just in water and sanitation, but in everything. In water, we see it in the form of bottled water a lot. But at the local neighborhood levels, the line between public and private sector can get blurred because you have a lot of small entrepreneurs taking care of things. And may be less important since it's not accompanied by large economies of scale, but where it becomes more important is at the state and national and multinational business enterprise levels. And here we have problems with fixing accountability and openness and transparency as to what's going on. What are the issues? The issues are quantity and quality of service and affordability of same by all members of the general public. Privatization has proceeded apace in water services, but it It's slower in wastewater services because of the costliness, maintenance demands, and pollution regulations. With water scarcities leading to new looks at the ecosan, ecological sanitation, and waterless toilets, the issue of large unit privatization may not be as great because the technology does not lend itself to such as readily as a large centralized sewage systems. Nonetheless, it's likely that most large urban areas without full coverage for sanitation will choose for the time being to follow the large conventional centralized system until such time as Ecosan develops better technology for cities. Beyond Hashimoto, here are the strategies. Sustained effort for a minimum of 5 years instead of just 1 year, International Year of Sanitation. Meetings each year to evaluate the sustained effort. These are suggestions. An array of sanitation prizes and incentives, not just one, particularly for successful local efforts. Commitment of all international, multilateral, and bilateral donors to give top priority to increase sanitation. No privatization without full accountability, openness, and transparency, with full and permanent regulatory and legal control of all contractors and support for public facilities. And public health must move to the forefront of these efforts. Without finishing the unfinished business of sanitation for all the global efforts to improve the public's health and reduce poverty will ultimately remain frustrated, and these health problems will become intractable. We had it 150 years ago made for us and who live in the north, and now it's time to provide this for people who live in the south. And it's primarily a question of political will. Thank you.